Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today, I'm joined by Bianca, and we know each other through ZS. I've met a lot of people through ZS, and it's been really, really fun. But today, we're going to talk about back injuries, rehabbing back injuries, and also the mental component of injuries, too. So I feel like it's a very common struggle for a lot of people and athletes as well about knowing how to get back into things after going through a major injury. But Bianca has a bachelor's of science, and she also is in school for her exercise physiology. So very qualified, and I'm excited to have this conversation today. And first, we're going to get you to like do a little bit of an intro. Let's hear the origin story, what got you into fitness for yourself, and what that moment was when you were like, you know what? I want to be a coach, and I want to help people.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to be here. So I was a Division I athlete in college. So I played in New York for 5 years, kind of went through the whole COVID thing during my senior year. I had pretty much a full ride scholarship at Long Island University. I was an attacker, and I've kind of been dealing with back pain for majority of my life. I think it started at the age of 15, I would say. So about 11 plus years now. I've been an athlete my whole life. So started from the age of 5, started with soccer, went to dance, gymnastics. And then I kind of was like, okay, lacrosse is calling my name. Try to get into that. Begged my parents. They're like, no, it's too aggressive. I was like, no, like I need to play this sport. Picked up the stick, best decision I ever made. And from that, I've had so many opportunities. I've been able to travel the world. I've also represented my heritage team for Team Italy, played in a European championship, and am hoping to be in the Olympics in 2028 in LA with that team as well. So I'm really, really hoping that works out. I've suffered a significant injury in the last 2 years with my back and pelvis. So at first I was kind of putting all this stuff on hold, was really nervous about all this stuff, trying to move forward with it, and wasn't sure if I needed to retire, put the stick down. It was really an emotional time for me, and trying to figure out how to rearrange my life and who was I without my sport and this and that. And I'm kind of seeing the light through the end of the tunnel now. So that's kind of super exciting. But for me, being a coach, it started off with lacrosse, honestly, like working with kids, helping them learn the game, educate them around the rules, lacrosse IQ. And then eventually when I went to school, it kind of turned into, I was just so passionate about the health and fitness industry that I was like, you know what, like, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing in life. I want to make a difference any way that I can. And I think helping people is what I do best. So when I jumped into the fitness industry, I left a full-time job at the city, and I was like, okay, a secure job, a desk job, what more can people want? But I was like, no, like, this isn't me. This isn't my personality. I need to do something more hands-on. And I took the leap, and I was like, okay, I'm really doing it. So I started 2 years ago as a personal trainer, and I haven't looked back since. And I think that was the best decision I made for myself. And helping people is what I do best. And I help people achieve their goals, whatever it is, whether it's rehab, maintenance, technique. At the end of the day, helping people reach something that's bigger than them, just themselves, is enough for me.
No, that's cool. I didn't know about the lacrosse background, but I mean, that makes sense though, because that would have probably been your first exposure to coaching.
Yeah.
So you probably saw how cool it was and unique it was to see someone improve and get better, and then also to help them through any kind of hurdles they might have regarding injuries or any kind of hurdles regarding mindset, right? And then able to just help them through that, and I feel like it's very rewarding.
Absolutely.
And I love the bit though that you said too about first of all, the Olympics thing, that's a big freaking deal, so yeah. Let's talk about that quickly. That's super cool, so hopefully that happens for you. To segue off that, I feel like it's a really good piece that you mentioned there too about being in a place where you should be fulfilled, but you're not.
Yeah.
And that's why like I wanted to quickly talk about that, because I think it's, again, to like the common eye, right? To maybe your average person, they would see you and be like, why would you want to do that? That's volatile. That's unstable.
Yeah.
It's uncertain, but you have a cushy job, right? So I think it's cool that you were still able to take that leap and be like, hey, you know what? This isn't for me. This isn't my end goal. This isn't where I'm going to stay. And I'm going to leave this too. Because I actually have a client of mine right now who he's leaving his job to pursue training.
Okay.
So it's like, it's kind of similar too. Because like, again, he has a pretty stable job.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's making decent money. But then he was like, this isn't the end for me. This isn't where I see myself being. So it's cool. And I applaud that too, because I think a lot of people wouldn't be even taking that step. Like they'd be like, well, you know what? This is okay. It's not the best. I'm not the happiest that I could be, but like this pays the bills. I'm able to travel. I'm able to live a certain like a level of comfortability in my life, and I'm able to do certain things, but it's good to look at it like, well, I could have more and I could be happier and I could be helping people and being more probably like fulfilled in general.
Yeah. I think a lot of people just, they get comfortable in life, you know, and it's like, okay, like I was so grateful for the job I had, but like came to a point where I was so stressed out. I was sitting there and I'm like, is this worth it? Like, is this really worth it? At the end of the day, like I didn't want to do what everyone else wanted me to do. Like, I feel like my life plan had always been set in stone, you know, like all these things were coming down the pipeline for me, or this is how my life is supposed to be. And like, at the end of the day, I was like, I'm not happy. I'm not doing what I love. Like, and I don't care if people see my job as a joke or maybe don't take me seriously. Like at the end of the day, like I am helping people, and you can't put a value on that. Like you can't put a price tag on that. Like I don't, like my mindset's always constantly changing. I'm like, okay, I want to do this in the fitness industry. I want to do this. I want to have my own job or my own gym, like whatever it is. But at the end of the day, it comes back to like, I want to help people. So how can I do that? And in what way, in what capacity? And yeah, like I said, I think that was the best decision I made for myself. I'm kind of always 100%. Used to be a people pleaser. And now I'm just like, all right, like stay in your lane. Like this is my path and I'm going to do what I want. And if you don't like it, then all right.
100%. No, I can relate to that too. Again, like I can definitely relate to that. And I always say like complacency kills, you know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, they get comfortable and they start making enough money, but they're also in a point where like, again, they're complacent and they're in an environment where they're safe.
Yeah.
Like they know what they're making every 2 weeks. They know they're probably going to get a raise in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with that, right? If people want to work a job where, cause I guess I'll kind of play devil's advocate for it. If people want to work a job where they have a consistent income, and if they are making a certain amount of money where they know they're making this every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All the power to people that want to do that, because we need a lot of those people doing those jobs too. Yeah. But if you're like us and you like the volatility of personal training, and if you like living on the edge a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, like it's just a matter of, are you living for yourself or are you living for other people? And that kind of ties into like people pleasing, right? Are you living a life that they're validating? Like, are they validating what you're doing? Are you living this life to appease them? Because that was like me too. Like before I got into training, I had the opportunity to do like electrical. So I was like getting offered my book to do like the apprenticeship and all the way through. And like that day I quit. And like, it's an interesting story because like, I was like, I thought that's what I wanted to do and everything. And then I was like given the opportunity to like do it all the way through for the 4 years. And then I was like, you know what? No. But again, like I got like my parents that day were like, what are you doing? Like, why would you just quit that day? Like, I can't believe you did that. Like if I was given those opportunities when I was that age, cause I was like 17.
Yeah.
So they're like, if I was given that when I was 17, like I would be so happy. Right. And then I was just, you know, it just, it's not my calling though. Like when I think about myself and my life, like I don't envision myself doing that long term. Every day for, and I think one thing that really kind of stuck with me was one of the guys that I was working with, and like bless his soul for this. He was just like, do you see yourself doing this for 50 hours a week for the rest of your life? And I was like, no.
Cause
when he asked me that, I was like, wow, no, not at all. Because he's like, well, what he's like, and then he asked like, well, what draws you? Like, what do you normally naturally drawn to? And I was like, well, you know, I like working out. And I was like, I've always kind of thought that being a personal trainer would be cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, why don't you?
Yeah. What's stopping you?
And I was like, well, okay. All right, man. You got me.
Good point.
sounds good. I'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when was your first like major back injury?
I would say it started when I was 15. I think like playing competitive elite sports my whole life and then getting into lacrosse, you know, where you're playing on concrete or a really hard surface and those joints are just taking an impact 24/7 and you're getting the crap beat out of you. Right. I was just getting some irritation. I would have like really significant pain. Sometimes I would get like, I couldn't feel my legs during a game and things like that. And then once I went to college, it got actually worse where we started introducing Olympic lifting and, you know, doing all this heavy weight training. And it wasn't something I had a lot of experience with. Like, yes, I worked out when I was young, but like, it wasn't like anything like Olympic lifting. So not having a foundation on that and then jumping into it, I actually ended up blowing out my back. And so it was on and off of like taking time off of playing, but being in pain and like the anxieties around that. And then I actually got some imaging done in college and it turns out I had a herniated L4, L5. So I did have a significant injury to my discs with a partial, what would it be like a fracture in my bone and then having some early stages of scoliosis, not like a severe degree, but just a little bit on my upper spine. And then so kind of just navigating through that through college, I'd go through really bad flare-ups to not being able to get off the floor and getting to a point where I had to take an oral steroid to reduce inflammation. It was just like up and down for years. And then in the last 2 years, I suffered a significant pelvis injury, which is kind of correlated to my discs. And that was just a game changer for me, trying to completely change my programming to my mentality, to trying to navigate that mentally was just, it was really heartbreaking for me. I think almost having to come to the realization I need to walk away from my sport. That was heartbreaking because I've been an athlete my whole life. But now like flip side of that, like looking at how far I've come along and actually being at the tail end of the recovery process, I think the strength training, the rehabbing, the mental process, like it all plays a vital role in having a significant back injury, you know, in the way that you kind of talk to yourself through that as well.
Yeah, because you said L4, L5?
Yeah.
So that's pretty low then, yeah. Mm-hmm. How did you, like when that all happened, how did you go about trying to rehab that? Like what was the process looking like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think like, you know, I've had multiple appointments in my life and I think it's been like chiro, physio, you know, massage therapy, acupuncture. For most of it, it was going to appointments, right? Getting the rehab exercises, doing them, getting assigned dead bugs for the 100th time and being like, okay, is this really going to fix my problem? But in reality, like I always talk about this, like I didn't understand how important core function played in a back injury. You know, like at the end of the day, I used to be this ripped kid, like six pack and blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, that means nothing if you don't have proper core function. So understanding 100%. The relationship between core function, lower back, spinal alignment, pelvic alignment, and especially in this last year, it hasn't been so much of like going to appointments to put a Band-Aid on it. It's been like, how can I change my strength program to benefit me and what I need at this time? Maybe it's like, I don't need to back squat 150 pounds. Maybe I don't need to pick up a barbell right now. Maybe it's actually going through what my body is doing during a squat. Where is my spine aligned? Where is my pelvis aligned? What are my hips doing? You know, like coming in tune with my body, because I mean, I've done it all. I've gotten injections. I've gotten, you know, been to sports med and currently going through my next form of treatment, which would be a nerve blocking injection. So I've done a lot of rehabbing and a lot of treatment, and I've just come to a point where it's like, maybe I actually look at the structure of my program and what I can do, like I said, that benefits me.
Yeah, no, I love what you said there about core function, because I feel like for most people, they try to diagnose a back injury and they think that it's very like localized.
Yeah.
And that it's just like, well, there's this acute injury to this location because there's an issue here. But it's like, well, No, I mean, like, obviously there's the acute component of the injury, yeah. But when it comes down to it, like, there has to be things contributing, like a lack of function to a degree or to many degrees too. And like you said, it ties into, like, the rib cage even ties into the pelvis, the rib cage ties into the hips, ties into the shoulders, right? If there's dysfunction through the rib cage, whether it being a slight nutation or a slight rotation based issue or a slight alter of positioning, that could affect how you actually function and move, right? So that is a great point. And I think a lot of people tend to think that when they get hurt, the fix is to actually be doing nothing. Yeah. And I think within that, it drastically prolongs the recovery process. Because if you do go through an injury, especially if it's more of like a debilitating one where it's a little bit more severe, you have more limitations from it, you have restrictions from it too. I think the more sedentary you are out of that injury, it'll prolong like the sport protocol, like when you can come back to actually playing sport, or even for somebody who's just like gen pop, like when they can get back to working, right? Because like you're sitting at home, you're not getting much blood flow, oxygen, like you're not really actually trying to like improve things and actually get the body functioning and working properly again.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I get it. Like there's moments in a back injury where yes, like 2 days to a week of rest is maybe needed. But I think like the quicker you can kind of understand what your body needs or what is it that's maybe lacking in terms of strength and function and mobility, the quicker you can kind of help yourself rehab through that process, right? Like, I've had points where I've had to sit out of games because I was in so much pain, or I'd had to sit on the sideline. Like, I've had to take time off, and like sometimes, like yes, your body does need that. And if there's anything I've learned in the last 2 years when I suffered a significant injury, I was like, you know what? Maybe this is my body's way of telling me like I need to slow down a little bit and actually stop trying to push through pain and do things that, you know, maybe I'm goblet squatting with the dumbbell. Maybe I'm not getting on a bar. Like mentally having that shift was very difficult for me, because I went from being a college athlete lifting over 200 pounds to, okay, maybe now I'm lifting half of that. And that's okay, because my version of strong is different now.
It's a humbling experience. Like, I think going through an injury is pretty essential for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it helps you kind of realign things, but I also think it helps you understand what things are essential and what things are not essential. And I do think that a lot of people get married to the idea that we have to do, like you mentioned quite a few times here too, like you have to barbell back squat, or you have to barbell deadlift, or you have to like barbell bench press or whatever. But from like a function standpoint, like for the most part, anything barbell related isn't super functional. It's going to be very sport specific, and like, I'm not opposed to a barbell back squat or a barbell deadlift. I think they obviously, they all have a place.
Yeah.
But I do think like, that's why there are many, many variations, like, you know, ton of progressions and regressions for this move, for those movements, for these specific reasons. It's like, well, maybe we can't do a barbell back squat now, but like you mentioned, what can we do that would be like a lower pain threshold amount, but also it's going to put you into like less of a chance of re-injury or even furthering the injury or furthering along the recovery process too. And it's a good way to think about it. And I think it's the mental aspect. I think for a lot of people, like you said, they get attached to the, like the ego and the identity of like being strong, like in air quoting, like again, like what does strong look like to you? And you're like, well, I was doing this and I don't want to like lower this amount, or why am I not able to do this now? And I feel like it's a constant mental challenge.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think like that comparison piece too, you know, it's like, I don't, like I said, I don't need to do a CrossFit lift to feel accomplished, right? Like I'm fairly strong in what I can accomplish in the gym on my own, right? Doing the things that I need. And I think mentally, when you're dealing with an injury like that, there's so many things that go through your head, you know, like, am I strong enough? Like, what's wrong with me? Is my body broken? Am I ever going to recover? Like, those are all things going through my head. I'm like, oh wow, like I'm 26 years old. Am I going to have to retire from my sport? Like, I wasn't envisioning that, right? And know, trying to feel like, why is this happening to me right now? Where did this come from? And especially not having a significant thing that happened, you know, because everyone's like, oh, like, what happened? Like, what triggered this? I'm like, literally nothing happened. I woke up one day and I was like, holy crap, like, something doesn't feel right. And it just turned into like this 2-year long process of like, holy, like, something's wrong. You know, what is it that my body needs right now? You know, and like, you build up compensation patterns in your body, you know, compensates in one area, and then one area just has enough and then starts picking up the slack. Like, everything's connected, like you said. I didn't even realize, you know, even in being in school for all these years, I'm just like, okay, like, I'm learning things constantly, and I'm like, okay, like, this makes sense. I suffered an injury here, maybe this is connected, or my rib cage, and like, all this stuff. Like, even learning how to breathe properly, that was a huge thing. I couldn't breathe properly, and I'm like, oh my god, this seems so simple, but diaphragmatic breathing, bracing, it's such a huge component of that pelvic floor pressure, right? And that canister that we hold in our rib cage. So
I feel like it's very interesting just with how much goes into function. And I feel like a lot of people struggle with this, is we tend to like almost overanalyze things when it's ourselves.
Yeah.
And we kind of fall into like the paralysis by analysis route, where it's like, we think it could be X, Y, Z, but it's actually B.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, it could be this, this, or this. And then we also have emotional attachment to it because it's ourselves. That's why it's like, it's so much easier to like not diagnose, but to give advice on something that's not related to us specifically, because we don't have that emotional tie to it in regards of like our ego identity and just like everything.
For sure.
So it's definitely more challenging for people when it comes to themselves. But for yourself, when you were going through your back injury, and then we'll talk about the pelvis injury after too, but you mentioned core function, and I think that that brings on a really good point. So what kind of dysfunction did you express through your core, which you think led to your disc injury? If so, what did the process look like of addressing that and trying to improve function?
I think for me, like, naturally, I've always had like an anterior pelvic tilt. So trying to work through, you know, what my body's alignment was at the time, and then going through like body awareness too. Like, maybe I was doing things at the time when I was young, but I wasn't really actually aware of maybe the damage it was doing, or maybe what my alignment was. So I think like, over the years, compensating and building up these patterns led to a significant injury, where I had weakness in a particular area being my core, and I would just do a lot of things like lifting with my back, right, not moving through my hips. And I think that was the relationship. Even now, I'm still dealing with like, dissociating my hips from my back, and like, okay, yes, you've had a back injury your whole life, but your hips know how to move, so why don't you use your hips, right? And I think mentally, I've put myself in a position where I'm like, okay, this is what my body's used to, this is how I'm going to do things, and now having to unwire those issues. So for me, like, when I'm doing a bunch of my core tests, right, and I was going through things with my physicians, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, automatically I want to arch through my back, like, my core holding a dead bug for 5 seconds. I'm like, why is this so hard? Right. And so dialing into things, you know, where my ribs are sitting in a neutral position, my pelvis is tucked, right, my core is engaged, I'm breathing through my diaphragm, like, little things like that, you know, I think have helped me in the long run. Like, yes, dead bugs can be really repetitive, but honestly, I've changed them in so many ways, or like a Palloff press, you know, where I'm laterally loading, or anti-rotation. And I'm still getting things out of that, because at the end of the day, I'm trying to reduce that pelvic tilt that I have so that I can sit in a more beneficial position for myself, right? Because a lot of the tension is just always in my lower back. And I think that just comes from patterns that I've built up in the past. And like I said, you go from like not doing like Olympic lifting to Olympic lifting without proper instruction or a full instruction on Olympic lifting. And then you're like, holy crap, like something's wrong with my back, right? So that transition, and understanding the proper mechanics and how your body is supposed to move, I think is really important.
Yeah. And I do think that this like ties in nicely to the importance of having a coach, especially because like, if you are, you know, relatively new and you're maybe lacking that proprioception and like lacking the body awareness, it's really nice to have somebody that can really like reinforce that with you and try to get you, give you good cues, good pointers, good advice, and help you self-correct and have you understand what things should feel like.
Yeah.
So I feel like at the beginning for a majority of the population, when they first get into the gym, like they do lack that proprioception. They don't really understand how things should feel, how they should be moving, just due to a lack of skill, which isn't anything bad inherently. It's just a time-based thing. But it's nice to have somebody there to kind of hold your hand a little bit in the beginning to just give you that advice. Or even like for you too, if like hiring a coach at some point in time to
shift
the focus, right?
Yeah.
Where you're able to get a secondary perspective on whatever it is that you're taking on. So like if it's Olympic lifting or if it's a different kind of sport per se, having somebody like be able to give you some point. Cause again, like I think with Olympic lifting, it's so fast. It's so explosive and it's like, triple extension. It's just,
it's like, whoa.
It's like it's a very quick movement that the margin for error is like relatively low because it's like all of a sudden the bar is on the ground, the bar is up in the air, it's overhead. Yeah. And it's like, oh man. Okay.
You're like, whoa. Yeah, no, I agree. Like, and even like myself, like, yes, I've been a personal trainer. Yes. I've had experience in the gym, but I still love having my own coach or my own personal trainer walking me through things because I feel like sometimes like I get more out of it. Like that's why I love being a coach. Cause it's like, okay, someone, you know, I get someone through an assessment, they're doing things. I'm like, okay, like maybe this is why your back hurts or your knee hurts or your hip hurts. Like they don't realize in real time what they're doing. Right. So that's where we come in and be like, hey, like, why don't you try this? Or I want you to think of this and cue them up properly. Even me, like I love working with a coach. I feel like it pushes me even harder. But when I go through the movements in the gym now, I'm doing everything so that when I get to my clients, like I know how they should be feeling this or what rate they should be working at, or like, okay, maybe this is what's going to help them. Right. So I do things in the gym that can help reflect with my clients. Cause you know, that's as a coach, what makes me better. I feel like.
Yeah. I feel like mentorship for a coach, like just again, having a coach or having multiple coaches is so beneficial because like you said, you can kind of take what you're learning, apply it to your own training. And then within that too, you have more tools in your belt to use with your clients when those issues arise or when you face those obstacles with your clients too.
Yes.
And then it's just a matter of like, well, like I had this similar related issue. I was able to apply these things to it and try it out. And then all of a sudden you can like, you, maybe you have a client that presents a certain problem and you could try that out and see if it works. And before you resort to sending them off to somebody else. Cause I do think as trainers, obviously we do have to be careful that we're not, as I'm sure you're aware too, very aware, diagnosing things without much context as to what it actually is. But I do think that we can do a lot still just via having a good understanding of biomechanics, anatomy, and movement in general. I think you should be able to like really be able to analyze movement. And if somebody's expressing dysfunction through movement in some way, shape, or form, you should be able to still be like, well, this person obviously lacks this degree of hip rotation. So this
is
probably contributing to X, Y, Z, knee pain, back pain, whatever. And let's try to figure out a way to like open that up or address that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's kind of nice too. Cause like in the facilities that I work at, cause like I have access to the gym. Right. And then I have, you know, I collaborate with chiro, acupuncture, massage, physio. Like, I think it's really nice having work alongside practitioners like that, because at the end of the day, we collaborate, you know, I'm like, hey, I had this client, you know, she's demonstrating this X, Y, and Z. What are your opinions or what is your advice on, on this, right? And then we can kind of collaborate or refer out to each other and then tag team that, which is really nice because then I'm learning from them. They're kind of getting feedback from me. And I, like I said, I feel like I'm always learning something new or some new exercise or something that I didn't know before, which is kind of cool, right? So I think it's really interesting how everything kind of ties together.
Yeah, I like that too, because you're building a really solid referral network, like you said, right? They trust you, you trust them, and then it's nice because they could probably hand you clients too if they're like, hey, you know, this person is getting through their sessions with me, their treatment or whatever it may be, and they need to get kind of segued back into just living life again. And then all of a sudden they trust you because you've built rapport with them. They can see your skills. They can see that you have a good like understanding of biomechanics and everything. And then it's better than trying to have no one to refer to or not feeling like you have a solid referral network, because that could be a little bit challenging if you're trying to work through injuries with multiple clients.
I agree. Yeah, for sure.
So for yourself right now, you know, with your own training that you were training for lacrosse, what does your training look like now? Do you still do a lot of training for lacrosse? Like, I know you mentioned that you have a pelvis injury, a pretty major one. So within the disc injury, what is a training, phase or let's say a week even look like for you?
Yeah, no, I think for the longest time, like when I first started, it was very like I had so much fear built around movement that I was like, nope, like I can't do this. Like, I can't do that. Like, I was just so scared. Like, I couldn't sneeze. I couldn't bend over. I couldn't jump. I couldn't throw the ball. I couldn't, like, I went to a lacrosse game. I couldn't, like, I had no stability in my adductors, nothing. And I'm like, what do I do? I was just shot. So I worked with the trainer who was fantastic. He helped me kind of get the ground running, like working on plyometrics again, introducing just like simple goblet squatting, a lot of glute bridges, core functioning exercises, things like that. And then back and forth between the appointments, kind of just tried out different training styles. Like, I didn't hinge for a really long time. I was focusing on unilateral training and trying to strengthen my glutes, making sure, like I said, my spinal alignment was good, coordination, stability, because I had none. Fast forward to now, I had one of my bosses help me with a program, and he was awesome. And we kind of started introducing the barbell again. Unilateral was kind of just something that I really, really dialed into. And now I'm just programming for myself. So I'm actually supposed to be playing in almost about a month for the first time in 2 years. So still lacrosse training. I think cardio was a big no for me for a while too, which is hard to get back into because like running, I felt like a newborn deer. I just had no concept of what I was doing because it was so painful. Yeah. So now, I'm getting back onto, like, I'm just doing heavier goblet squats, like heel elevated goblet squats, focusing on loaded dead bugs, getting back into, I like doing heavier split squats, like barbell split squats, because that feels comfortable for me. And actually just reintroducing hinging. So getting back into a trap bar deadlift or an elevated RDL with a bar. So still things that are in regards to my sport, a lot of pulling because I need a lot of lat engagement just to make sure I'm stable through my back. Honestly, I've just been tinkering around, but most importantly, I'm doing the things that feel good. I'm like, who do I need to impress trap bar deadlifting 300 pounds? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing things that work for me, working on back extension and isometrics in that position, like things I couldn't do before and I'm finally able to do. I'm like, oh my God, like I just feel like I cracked the code or something. But honestly, it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of tinkering and a lot of just like understanding your body and importance of rest time too, because I'm very hard-headed and I was trying to just like bang through everything and try so hard to like not be in pain. But at the end of the day, like I suffered a significant injury, you know, and I couldn't put myself in a position to make it worse. So I actually had to take a year off of playing and just focus on the rehab side of things.
Yeah. And I feel like within that, just, you know, wanting to still stay so involved. And I feel like for a lot of people that have a little bit more of a competitive nature, they tend to have trouble dialing back.
It was really hard. it was really hard.
Yeah. And that could present in a lot of different ways too. But I also feel like when it comes down to just the amount of time that you're in the gym for the week too, like just needing to give your body more time to recover in general, but wanting to still train like you were before, like let's say before the first injury, before the second injury, which like obviously the approach is going to have to be a little bit different just because circumstances have changed.
Yeah, it was, oh God, it was so hard. Like I would have days I'd go to a gym or be at the gym and I'd be doing something I used to be able to do. And I just get so frustrated because I'm like, why can't I do this? Like, what is wrong? Right. Or, you know, being in a gym all the time and seeing what other people are doing. I'm like, I really want to do that. Or, you know, I had to make a really tough decision to pull out of Team Canada tryouts for lacrosse just over a year ago. And the FOMO aspect of things, like knowing that I deserve to be there, that I could compete and do all these things. But now I'm like, if I go, I'm going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to be playing, or I could make things worse. There were so many things running through my head at the time. At the end of the day, I was like, maybe people are going to think I'm pulling out because I'm chickening out, or I don't think I'm good enough. But at the end of the day, like that wasn't it. I wasn't making excuses up. I was actually like coming to terms with, I am going through something that needs some more time. If people can't understand that, then they can form their own opinions. But I needed to do what was best for me at the time. And it was heartbreaking. I would sit there, cry my eyeballs out. I would have days where I'd be crying at work and I'd have to go home because I just couldn't pull myself together. You know, it's like having something ripped away from you without a reason as to why, and having to come to terms with that was, it was honestly heartbreaking for me. But now being on the other side of that, I'm like, you know, people are going to deal with things in their life, like significant injuries or maybe having to question who they are without their sport, you know, and figuring out who their identity is. But like, honestly, like it's not the end of your career at all by any means. Like if you are dealing with a significant injury, like don't give up on it. Like, just stay patient and stay the course and trust the process, because what may have taken you 4 weeks before might actually take you 3 months to a year, right? Like everyone's bodies are constantly changing. They're adapting. I am also 10 years older than I was, you know, when I first suffered my first injury. My recovery process is different, you know, but I'm so in tune with my health now, like supplementation, protein, this, this, and that. Like I'm focused on what makes my body feel good and helps with the inflammation that I deal with. Right. So there's just so many things that factor into it. But it's all about mindset too.
Yeah. To kind of build on that, actually, I was going to actually ask you about the mindset component of it too. Cause I feel like that kind of works in tandem with the things that you just talked about too. Like obviously what we fuel our body with and what we do to ensure that we're recovering properly. But for yourself, like you mentioned there quite a few times that you had a lot of trouble with the mindset component of it, right? So if let's say somebody's listening to this and they are going through a major injury and they're having trouble coming to terms with it, like let's say like yourself where you were almost doing things that you trying to do things that you could do before, or you're getting FOMO, you're like, man, I wish I was like able to do that right now.
Yeah.
Like, what would you advise that they do to work through that? Because I feel like that's a common issue for probably a lot of people when they first have a major injury, whether it's related to sport or not.
Yeah, no, for sure. I feel like, especially just speaking from like an athlete perspective, like because I played at that Division I level, I was always like, okay, I have to be tough. Like I mentally have to be all there. Like I can't show any signs of weakness, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I was always so worried about what other people would be saying or thinking, right? Oh, she's, you know, cause I did struggle with a lack of confidence when I was younger. Right. So people were thinking maybe I was making this injury up, or, but at the end of the day, like it's about you. You know, it's about your story, your journey, your path. And if there's one thing that I've really honed in on this year is like my story. It's not what everyone else is saying. It's not what everyone else wants for me. It's about what Bianca wants, you know? And I know myself better than anyone else. And yeah, I think just coming to terms with like, okay, Bianca, you're 26, you're not 16 anymore. What you used to do is what you needed at the time for your sport, the demand in which you competed at. Now, Bianca, you're in a different phase of your life. Okay, yes, you made the decision to go to the Olympics now. That's going to require a different form of training, but my recovery process is different. I have access to different healthcare providers now, different opinions, different angles. And I think at the end of the day, it's easier said than done. Like, yeah, don't compare yourself to others, right? But seriously, like, what is comparing yourself going to do for anyone, right? Like, I think, okay, coming to terms with, yes, I'm injured, acknowledge that. What are the next steps? What are the next phases? Okay, go to get your assessments, go to your chiro, your physio, do those appointments once a week, stay consistent with those. But then what is my strength training phases or program going to look like, right? Because we don't want to keep irritating things. We want to heal and make your body stronger in ways that you need for the demand it's going through right now, right? So yeah, I think just trying to understand like what my body needed, what it was feeling, you know, on a day where I was like, you know what, Bianca, like you're not feeling great. Don't push it. That means don't push it, right? Not trying to be like, okay, Bianca, go lift some weights because that's going to make things better, right? Like coming to terms with, like I said, taking time off, resetting, getting my nervous system back down, because I was just, the more wound up I was, the more stressed out I was, like preparing for a tryout that I knew my body wasn't ready for, the more inflammation, the more flare-ups I actually had. And I think my relationship with my mind and my body, it was telling me like, hey, Bianca, like pump the brakes. Like it's time to like really recover. And I think just like being okay with that and just being like, all right, this is what's going on right now. These are the cards you're dealt with. All right. Yeah. Like put your head down, get to work. Don't sulk for a little bit. Like I definitely sulked, but I was like, I've had enough of this. What do I need to do to get myself into a point of like, okay, Bianca, you're going to get back to yourself and you're going to be even better than you were before. Right. So,
yeah. Yeah. I think it's like a level of acceptance is required, like a level of acceptance of like the current circumstances. But I also think that it's important to acknowledge for just in general too, that the current circumstances aren't going to be permanent.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, and I think a lot of people tend to just with any kind of thing, right? They tend to see it as like, well, this might just be how it is forever. And it's like, well, no, it's not how it is forever. Yeah. It's how it is right now. But like, I love what you said there too about giving yourself time to go through the grieving process, like giving yourself time to be like, this sucks. This blows. Like, you know, like I'm not, you know, I fucked up, you know, or like this sucks. Yeah. And allowing yourself to kind of work through those emotions naturally. But then, like you mentioned, having a point where you're like, okay, what is the next plan of action?
Yeah.
Like, what can I focus my attention on? And like, what can I put my energy into? Because otherwise it can be a vicious cycle, like you said, where you just sit there and you're like, oh man, I am not where I want to be. I'm not making progress. I'm not moving anywhere. I'm staying stuck where I currently am.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like you're in this like downward spiral of like everything.
Yes.
But if you can kind of quickly like change your focus to something that's productive, and even if it's not where you envision yourself being like long-term,
yeah,
it's still something to strive for and to something for like to train towards. And at least that way you have something to shift the focus to.
Yeah, well, absolutely too. And like I said, it's all part of the process, all part of the journey. Like everything kind of ties in, and you know, now I can look back at it and be like, okay, I went through this really difficult time, but what did I gain out of it? Right? I gained strength, resilience, patience, you know, determination, confidence, all these things, right? Like every part of your journey helps you, you know, in some sort of way. And I think like we learn in at ZS too, like how important mindset truly is, right? If you keep portraying negative thoughts or speaking negative thoughts and thinking negative thoughts, that's exactly what's going to play out, right? And I think if you can rephrase those to more positive thinking, positive self-talk, you know, that that thing that you want or that dream or that goal, like, it's possible, but you have to retrain the way, like, you're mentally looking at things, right? And I'm guilty of it. Like, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety at 18 in college, and it was terrifying, but I had so many negative thoughts at the time and so many things that were weighing me down. Like, now when I go through life, I'm like, okay, like, you know, how am I going to picture this in a positive way, or, you know, see this in a positive way so that I'm not succumbing to all this negativity, you know? And it's hard to not get caught into the negative thoughts when you really go through something like an injury in your sport, right?
Yeah.
I was just like, I was down in the dumps for a long time. And I'm just like, well, I guess I'm throwing in the towel. Like, this is what my life looks like now. But I was kind of like, what? Like, that's not who I am. Like,
yeah,
I still have so much to experience.
Yeah, it's... Man, any kind of injury is tough. And I think it comes with time.
Yeah.
To realize that, like, to try to look at something subjectively and try to see, like, what it's trying to teach you. And it takes time to understand, like, okay, well, this is trying to teach me this. But in the moment, it's hard because there's like, so much emotion attached to it. And in the moment, it's just like, this sucks. And then it's almost, I think what a lot of people will do is they'll, like, deny and, like, reject their own emotions through it.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, well, I shouldn't be feeling this, you know, like, this shouldn't be something that I'm naturally feeling or going through. And then that almost, like, amplifies the whole thing because you're not allowing yourself to feel and process the emotions properly.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a bit of a happy medium of where you're like, you should allow yourself to feel the normal feelings about it and feel a certain way about what happened and process it.
Yeah.
But like you said there with, like, the mindset component and, like, all what we've learned about and talked about a lot with ZS as well too, is like the beliefs that we have or the ideologies that we have about ourselves will definitely present in many ways.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And if we have this mindset that we're never going to get better or that we're never going to be where we want to be again, or that we're never going to get out of this, like, rut that we're in.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to actually get out of the rut and see the other side.
Yeah. No, I feel like even, like, the roadblocks, you know, we discussed too, like, a lot of people in their fitness journey, even if it's not back pain, are going to go through roadblocks or things that set them back or get in their way. And at the end of the day, it's like, mindset wise, like, what are you going to do to get through them? And, you know, if you're getting in your own way, how is that helping you? Like, what benefit is that doing to anyone? Right. And I kind of like working with a therapist that I had, you know, like framing the question of, like, what kind of opportunity is this bringing you? Where is opportunity presenting itself here? You know, and looking at it that way, like, okay, yes, I suffered this injury. Yes. It set me back, but what have I gained out of it, or what opportunities is it presenting itself? Right.
Yeah. I think it's a great mindset to have around it versus having a victim mentality around it and just feeling like, cause, like, obviously you're allowed to feel like poor me for a while.
Absolutely.
But if that's the only way you go about thinking through the whole thing, then you won't be able to, like, make any forward progress because you're living in this vicious cycle of, like, self-destruct because you're just like, well,
you have to know there's, like, a way through it. You know, there's always a way through it. And even in, you know, I feel like a lot of people, most of the population deals with back pain, right? And you see a lot of people working desk jobs, like even like clients that I have, right? Like, they have desk jobs. You see, like, the tight hips, the weak glutes, right? You know, poor posture. It's everything ties in, right? And it's just like, there's always something that you can do to help benefit yourself, right? And if you know you have things going on, or you know you have a sore back that's been going on for years, you know, it's like, have you done anything to help yourself, right? Or have you tried strength training, things like that, right? Like, if you make excuses for yourself or you get in your own way, it's not gonna benefit you in any way, right? So it's like, take care of yourself and put yourself first and get those negative thoughts out of your head and just be like, okay, like, let's try something new. Let's try something different. Right.
Yeah. So I got, like, one final question for you. For somebody that like you mentioned there just now, like battles with back pain.
Yeah.
What would be some things that you would advise that they do to start trying to work through it? Because I feel like back pain is probably one of the most common things that people generally deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like what's been really like helpful for me is kind of adding in more like structured mobility every other day. So like, for example, like, yeah, like your back hurts, but there's more that ties into it, right? Like, so for me, like range of motion in my hips, internal rotation, external rotation was very limited. So doing things that work around that. And like, I have a really tight upper back. So like working through T-spine mobility and loosening things up through there so that we can get more movement through our rib cage. And then yes, hone into the core. I know everyone's sick of hearing it, but like it does really work. So like it doesn't even need to be dead bugs, but maybe it's a plank variation, a side plank variation, a Pavlov press. Like I like doing those myself, like load them more depending on your sport or what you do in your job. Like I like anti-rotation drills, just things like that. And stay consistent with the things that do help you. Like for me, I was going to the chiropractor once a week, getting an adjustment, realigning myself, and then going on to what I was doing. Now I may be going once a month, right? And just staying consistent, like even when it's hard, just staying consistent and focusing on things that tie into your back, glutes, hips, you know, upper back mobility, core function, like all that stuff ties in, right? And just being aware of how your body is moving during those things, right? So, and just not pushing yourself to where, like, pushing yourself to a point where it's like, is it for you or is it for other people? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, doing the things in the gym that feel right, not the things that hurt, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no. I think that's a great way to end the episode. And I think today, too, we talked about a lot of important things. And I think it was cool to hear your experience being that, you know, you were playing high level lacrosse and you are getting back to playing high level lacrosse. And it's cool to get your insight perspective on injuries and how you worked through it. Cause I feel like adversity is one of those things that everybody faces to some degree, but the way that they choose to see the adversity is what makes you a better person, or it'll keep you in place. And I think that's one important thing that we discussed today is like, see this setback as a way to get better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a way to like become a little bit more like resilient or a little bit more bulletproof, and then think about how can I improve upon this, but how can I also move in the direction that I want to be moving in? Because like, again, you're not stuck where you are, even though people might feel like it. And I feel like we also talked a lot about some great points with back pain too. I think back pain is like one of the most common things that I see with people as well.
Yeah.
Is some sort of expression of dysfunction through the lower back.
Yes.
But it's oftentimes due to, like you mentioned before, maybe it's a lack of internal rotation, a lack of external rotation, has to do with maybe some sort of dysfunction through the pelvis, through the rib cage. Maybe they're, you know, they're at a desk job where they're very sedentary, or they work a very unique occupation where they're doing a lot of really repetitive, weird movements consistently too, right? It's a matter of figuring out, okay, well, like, what is this pain trying to tell me? And then I think you wrapped it up nicely there where you're talking about not going too hard.
Yeah, can make things worse.
Trying to just like take things as they come and just like gradually just kind of work through it and listen to your body, which I think comes with time and like maturity as well.
Yes.
You learn, like you mentioned earlier on in the podcast, I'm not 16 anymore.
It took me a long time to get to this point. Trust me. It was a very, very whirlwind of emotion in the last 2 years. I'm Italian. I'm hard-headed, like I said. But like, I think a huge thing is just acknowledging when something is kind of, you know, off and what you can do to work through those things.
Yeah, I know. I love to hear it. Thank you so much for talking about it today. And I'm excited to hear more about your Olympic experience when that happens.
Yes.
Because so we'll have to do a podcast after that when you do your Olympic experience, and we'll have to talk about the whole thing. But for people that want to stay up to date with you and what you do, what are your socials as far as I'm off right now?
Yeah, no, for sure. You can just follow me on Instagram at SantucciFit. That's kind of like the main account that I'm on for everything. Cool. And yeah, it's all things strength and conditioning, rehab, my journey with lacrosse, and my mental health as well. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate the transparency about everything. I think the mental health stuff too, because I think that's something that's not talked about enough. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be an advocate for that and talk about it as often as possible. So thank you for supporting that.
Of course. Thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Yeah, no problem. Until the next one.
Yes, absolutely.